This is the Nursing Home Abuse Podcast, Episode 90. How long does it take a Georgia nursing home case to settle? The Nursing Home Abuse Podcast is dedicated to providing news and information for families whose loved ones have been injured in a nursing home. Here are your hosts, Georgia attorneys Rob Schenck and Will Smith. Hello out there and welcome back to the Nursing Home Abuse Podcast. My name is Rob Schenck.
And I'm Will Smith.
Great episode for you today. It's just going to be Will and I today. Sometimes we have guests. Most often we have guests. Mm-hmm. Today's just me and Will. We're our own guests. And we're going to be talking about the...
the time it takes for nursing home cases to settle.
Yeah. So just what goes into that?
Not the time it takes for Rob to tell you what the episode is about, which is clearly... 30, 45 seconds.
Yeah, of silence.
Of silence.
All right. This we get this question a lot. This is why we
don't just get it a lot either. We get it every. It's the main question that people have when they come to our office and they talk about this.
Right.
How long is this going to take? And inevitably, everyone is a little dumbfounded on how long these cases take.
Right. To settle.
They're frustrated.
To settle.
Yeah, they're frustrated.
So just there's, you know, in terms of these cases, let's say something happens to your loved one who's a resident of a nursing home. And you, let's just say that it's the following day you come to our office. Most often, this is how these cases will shake down. Is that there has to be an initial investigation by the attorneys that you go to. The investigation is going to include all types of things. Number one, getting the medical records or getting the business records or the chart from the nursing home itself or any of the other hospitals that might be involved in this claim. So, for example, if your loved one was hurt in the nursing home but then went to the hospital. Mm-hmm. Getting all the records from any facility that touched your loved one. Getting witness statements, going out and talking to people if that's relevant. Getting documents from any type of state agency. So in the state of Georgia, you might use a Freedom of Information Act to get documents from the Department of Community Health if they went out and investigated, if they did a survey, the most recent survey. Or you can get maybe... if it's relevant to your case, you could make a request for 911 calls.
Right.
We have a case right now where the 911 call has important information in it only because of what the individual said to the dispatch. So that's what we would call the investigation period in terms of trying to figure out what the mechanism of injury is. So did what we think happened actually happen? And in a lot of ways that can be very time intensive. So it can take a couple months to get the medical records from the hospital. It can take a couple months to get all the nursing home records. And I think a lot of times the nursing homes fight giving you the records.
And what we have to remind a lot of our clients is, you know, there are certain statutes that say how long a hospital has to respond to your medical record request that are what we call toothless. They're without any teeth. Because unless a law has a consequence, you have to think about it. If there's no like immediate consequence, what are you going to do? So if a law says, well, if somebody requests their medical records, you need to give it to them in 30 days. Most often not, they never give it to us within 30 days. So then what's the consequence? I mean, could you take them to court? Absolutely. But that's an action in and of itself that takes a long time. It's not that these nursing homes or these hospitals, to be honest with you, it's not that there's some large conspiracy where they're trying to... More often than not, it's not. Sometimes it can be. But it's not that they're conspiring to prevent you from getting your medical records. It's that they're not efficiently designed to track records, to keep them, and to produce them upon request. They're just not very good at it. They don't put a lot of money into it, and the people who work in those offices are short-staffed, and it's frustrating. You know, I've had it take 4 or 5 months to get medical records before, and that is absurd and ridiculous.
Right, and so there's some federal laws that changed a few years ago where they're trying to incentivize nursing homes mm-hmm. to move towards electronic records, which in some instances makes it easier to get. But so those investigations that were the documents that we're getting, we're talking to people. These are all things that we are getting other than the medical records. These are all things that we're getting without the aid of the facility that is alleged to be negligent. You can't just walk up and say, I want to have a 3-hour interview with the administrator of the facility.
No.
They're going to say, go away, because they have no legal obligation to do so. The only real legal obligation they have to do at this point that's relevant to investigating a claim is handing over the records.
Do you remember that time that we went to the nursing home down in, no, it was a hospital down in South Georgia. And we tried to talk with the surgeon, and the hospital freaked out.
Yeah, well, a little bit of history on this is that the hospital was not the potential defendant.
No, not at all.
Yeah, they were the hospital that saw the resident after the resident was injured, and we were just going down based on how
they were the good guys.
They were the good guys, and they still quartered us off into a room at gunpoint and said, "You guys, who are you, city folk?"
Yeah, because it was two guys in suits that identified as attorneys and said, "Hey, I'd like to talk with one of your surgeons," and it was all hands on deck, like they were pressing the red button underneath, you know, the counter, and lights were flashing.
Yeah.
So the
receptionist like cracked her neck, like the bad guy from the Matrix. Like she's like, this is what I've been training for.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And she's going through her operations
manual
in her
head. Oh, they put us in a little room. They're like, maybe you'll be more comfortable in here, gentlemen. They put us in it was the chapel too.
Yeah.
They locked us in the chapel. So yeah, your ability to talk to witnesses is extremely limited.
Right. So, and during this process, just so that, because we can't do anything as the attorneys in terms of like going in there and squeaking the, and greasing the wheel, not squeaking the wheel, is
greasing the squeaky wheel.
Greasing the squeaky wheel is that generally we recommend to our clients to go through the administrative process. So alert the administrator yourself as the family member. This is what happened, and get an incident report going. Get an incident or grievance going through the nursing home itself, so there's a record. Then we would say to the family member, contact the long-term care ombudsman, and we've addressed that in other episodes, and call the Department of Community Healthcare Facility Regulation Division, mm-hmm. and some surveyor, some complaint investigator will go out there. They might take a while, but they'll go out there. Depending on the egregiousness of the claim, that's how quickly they go out there. So while we're doing our thing, they could be doing their thing. And then at the end of our investigation, a lot of times we will make requests for the documents that were generated during those investigations. Or maybe depending on the type of claim it is, you would also have the family member, we'd have you as the family member call the police, depending on what happened. And then we get those documents as well. So there's a period of basically just fact-finding. The process of just gleaming through the medical records, and what we're trying to do is to figure out ultimately what happened, and then not just what happened, but what we could prove what happened at the end of the day. So did the nursing home do or fail to do something that caused the injury? And that's what we're trying to investigate. And so what we'll do at the end of that investigation, we got everything. We got witness statements. We got statements from family members. This is what happened. What we'll try to do is we'll have a expert, and the expert can be a medical doctor. It can be a nurse. It can be a pathologist. It just depends on what the case calls for, to review everything and to make a statement under oath, under penalty of perjury, mm-hmm. to say this nursing home, this skilled nursing facility, messed up in some way. Because that, as we've talked about in other episodes, that is a requirement of filing a lawsuit in Georgia. So at this point now, it's probably been 2 or 3 months, maybe 4 months. And again, this hypothetical that we're giving you for this episode is that we're not worried about statute of limitations. Where this is just the average amount of time. Things can be faster or longer depending on that statute of limitations. But generally, this is how long it takes. 2, 3, 4 months. We have an affidavit from, or a statement under oath from, an expert who has read everything that we have, assessed everything, and says there is definitely a breach of the standard of care that this facility has committed.
And it's also worth noting that that expert could also come back and say, hey, Rob and Will, I have looked at this based on my expertise as a doctor or as a nurse and my experience in this field. I have to tell you that it's a horrible situation. My heart goes out to the family, but there is no negligence, or that negligence is very sketchy.
Right. And so the reason why we're telling you this right now is that the chances of this, of your claim settling between the time that you walk into your attorney's office the day after the incident to the time that they have that affidavit in their hand is almost zero. Because why would the nursing home settle anything? We haven't even come close to proving anything. Right. We don't know what the facts are.
And just as a brief aside, you have to remember, and we could do an entire episode on what negligence is, on what a breach of a standard of care is, on what causation is, on what damages are. You could do a series of episodes on any one of those three. But I'm telling you this because I deal with clients all the time who are frustrated, legitimately so, that it appears as though the nursing home isn't taking responsibility for their actions. Imagine that you rear end a car, right? You do that, and you mess up the bumper. And a couple of days later, that car that you rear-ended, the engine stops working, right? Well, you committed negligence. You messed up the bumper. The engine worked before you did that, and now it doesn't work. Does that mean that you rear-ending the car did something to the engine, or was it about to go out anyway? Well, from the nursing home's perspective, if you're blaming them for that engine not working, they're not going to accept it. And they're going to fight it because they have an insurance company that doesn't want to pay out money, whose sole purpose is to save money to avoid paying out claims. That's how insurance companies make money, right? So they're, just because you say, look, I know that they didn't do this right, or they were supposed to call us and they didn't call us, or they were supposed to do this and they didn't, it doesn't mean that it's a slam dunk case. There is no such thing. And I want to make sure that people listen. There is no such thing as a slam dunk case in nursing home litigation.
Right. And so at this point, we have the affidavit in hand. It's very slim. The facility will want to make an offer to you at that point. So then sometimes what we'll do is we'll put all that material into a persuasive document called a demand package. The demand package basically says, these are the facts as we understand them. Here is the evidence supporting these facts. And here's what we think the case value is. If you pay this case value now, or whatever the time frame that you want to give them, 30 days, 40 days, 15 days, 5 days, 5 minutes, then you send that out. And then it's the chances of settling are slightly higher. Because now you've provided them with your
evidence
and your what you could prove in court ultimately, and they'll take that to their adjusters. And you know, we've settled cases. Often pre-suit, but not always. So the chances of settling your case at this point is more than zero, but less than probably 50%.
Because now you have an expert and you have evidence that say in that scenario of rear-ending somebody and the engine not working, you've got somebody that says, yeah, not only did you guys commit negligence by rear-ending that person, but that's why the engine doesn't work. So you've got more evidence to present to them for them to make an informed decision.
That's right. So now, if there's no settlement offer from the facility, then what you'll do is you can't just sit there forever and nothing's going to happen unless you do something. So the next thing you do is file the complaint. And last week, if you're really interested in knowing what filing a complaint is like in Georgia, just listen to last week's episode. It's the whole episode is dedicated to the process of filing a complaint against a nursing home. So you file the complaint against the nursing home and they'll have a certain amount of time under the law to answer. Usually it's 30 days. They go through 30 days and then the chances of you settling slightly higher, not very much higher. Okay, so now you can think about this. From the time frame, it's been 3 or 4 months to investigate. It's been about another month to 6 weeks for them to answer the demand or to deny your demand. Then you file the lawsuit. It's been another 30 days to 6 weeks for them to answer the complaint. And you haven't really gotten much better odds for settling the claim at that point. So they haven't settled by this point. You're going to go through, in Georgia, you're going to go through about a 6 month to 18 month process called discovery, which is where you do fact finding. You depose people, meaning you sit down with their people, their administrator, director of nursing, their RN, the owner, these type of things. And then you start getting the information that you were not allowed to get prior to the lawsuit. So at this point, you could do a survey of the facility, go there and talk to people, this type of thing, get witnesses that you might not be otherwise entitled to. And generally what we found is that once you've made it past the discovery phase and you've talked to everybody that you need to talk to and gathered all the information you could possibly get prior to the actual trial, and you've talked to all your experts, you've got your medicine people lined up, they've got their medicine people lined up, at that point, the likelihood of settlement is much higher because everything's laid out on the table. And generally, you've gone through discovery, they have a more accurate number that they have for the case value itself. So the chances of you doing an informal settlement at that point is higher than it was prior to discovery being conducted, if that makes sense. Like everybody kind of has a better understanding of where everybody's at after discovery rather than before discovery. And the chances of a case settling when, you know, people know nothing is not good. When they know more, it's better. And at that point in Georgia, I mean, I know a few judges who's going to have a scheduling order that doesn't require mediation, but generally mediation is going to be required to occur after discovery has closed. So even if you can't informally settle the case, meaning reaching out to the other people and go, hey, man, give me an offer. What do you got? Then oftentimes the court will require you to mediate the case. And we've talked about mediation. I think mediation was several episodes ago. But if you want to know more about how mediation works and what the strategies are, tune into another episode. But the chances of the case settling at mediation often are higher. Not every time. Sometimes we have walked out of mediations, but for the most part, mediation can be very successful because the mediator is going to be somebody that whose job is to settle the case, and they're not doing their job if they don't settle the case. So once the mediation occurs, the chance of settling are high. But if they don't, you move on to the next phase. And again, now we're getting to be, you know, it's been 18 months possibly since that the incident happened, and you're just through discovery, and you walked out of mediation.
Since you came into our office.
Correct. Yeah. Correct.
Which is why it's extremely important that you go to an attorney as soon as you have a claim or a complaint, because the statute of limitation can be 2 years. Sometimes it changes. But if you wait to the last minute, I mean, you see how long this takes. You've got to start early.
Right. And so sometimes there's motions practice. There'll be summary judgment motions based on certain claims. And a summary judgment motion basically says that even if all the facts that you're alleging are true, you don't have a claim under the law, yada, yada, yada. If you make it past this stage, the chances of settling are higher. But again, you're adding a couple months to that. Then you get onto the trial calendar. And from the time that you're on the trial calendar to the time that you get called to trial, the chances of settling are higher. And in the, at the point when the court, the judge says, you guys need to show up at 8 in the morning on Monday, you know, January 16th, whatever it is, then the chances are even are at its highest. And as soon as you walk onto the courthouse steps, they're at its highest once again.
Mm-hmm.
Because generally, facilities don't want to have to try these cases in the court of law. And at that point, it's been 2 years almost. Right. So, you know, if court ordered mediation doesn't work and then after motions practice, there's no settlement at the courthouse steps, there's the highest chance. And then we haven't done this, but we've talked to other attorneys where, you know, after opening statements, the case is settled.
And, you know, it's also important to note, and this is something that we have done numerous podcasts on, is arbitration. Arbitration might speed up how long it takes to finish a case. If there's an arbitration clause, you're probably not going to settle the case, but it's going to prevent you from going actually to litigation. So it might be quicker, but you're almost never going to actually settle. They're going to wait for the arbitrator to make a decision.
Yeah. And that's something we've addressed in other episodes, but needless to say that the point of this episode is to let you know that this isn't, you know, civil justice is not a get rich quick scheme. It's not a get rich scheme at all. And you're in for a long fight almost always.
Always. Just expect it to take a year and a half at the very least. It takes a very long time in these cases.
Yeah.
And inevitably, somebody will always say, my cousin, I had a case that didn't take that long. Okay, great. Good for your cousin. But typically, these cases take a very long time.
Yeah. So I think that's a good overview of just timelines and settling, which is, again, is different than the timeline for reaching verdict and things like that. So, well, Will, how would somebody watching this episode, how would they know where, if they just stumbled upon this, how would they know to get the next episode? Where do they go?
Well, you can go anywhere that podcasts are downloaded and sold. You can go, ours is free. You can go to iTunes if you're a Mac and Apple user. You can go to Stitcher. You can go to Spotify. You can go to our website, which is www. Was that too many W's?
I don't know why you still say the W.
I know.
Why would you do that?
It's like when you have to say .com. It's nursinghomeabusepodcast.com. Or you can go to our YouTube channel. And if you do, please make sure to click like and subscribe.
And with that, we will see you next time.
See you next time. Thanks for tuning in to the Nursing Home Abuse Podcast. Nothing said on this podcast, either by the host or the guest, should be construed as legal advice, nor is intended to create an attorney-client relationship between the host or their guest and the listener. New episodes are available every Monday on Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, or on your favorite podcast app, as well as on YouTube and our website, nursinghomeabusepodcast.com. Again, that's nursinghomeabusepodcast.com. See you next time.